Well, this morning we're going to be continuing on in our study on the five solas of the Reformation. Last week we finished up Sola Scriptura, and we got in a decent amount. Granted, there's always more. You know, we're not necessarily, we don't necessarily have the time, per se, to expound every single aspect of every single one of these topics. But that being said, you know, there's a great deal that we can all learn and take from them just in the principles of each. We finished Sola Scriptura, and this week we're going to move on to the next, which is Sola Fide. For any of you all that don't know, Fide is Latin for faith. You know, we're all familiar with the term Semper Fidelis, which is the slogan for the Marine Corps. Here we have Sola Fide. It's faith alone. Through faith alone is the topic that we're going to be studying today. We're specifically, when we say by faith alone, we're talking about justification. The justification, what is justification? I'll start by explaining that. Justification is essentially the act of being made right with God, more or less. And there's we're going to look at the two different views. We're going to look at the Roman Catholic view, and we're also going to look at the Reformer's view of this topic. And one of the questions that I'm going to raise today, and we're going to answer that in Scripture, is how can an unjust person possibly survive the judgment of a just and holy God? That's one of the questions that was answered in the Reformation by the Reformers, and that was one of the points of dispute. It was we talked before about the formal cause of the Reformation, which was Sola Scriptura. The formal being the underlying cause of the Reformation was that Sola Scriptura was not by Scripture alone that they had as final authority and sole authority. The Roman Catholic Church believed in the infallibility of church tradition and the papacy and also Scripture. So it was Scripture plus church and church tradition, whereas the Reformers were proposing that it's only in Scripture that we have final authority. So that is the underlying cause. Since they did not hold to Scripture alone, they came to the conclusion, or the Roman Catholics conflicted with Scripture by saying that it's faith plus works. Faith plus church tradition. Excuse me. So, how can an unjust person possibly survive the judgment of a just and holy God? Based on the Roman Catholic view, the Roman Catholics have always taught that faith is necessary for salvation. That's a misconception. A lot of people will slander the Roman Catholic Church to a further degree by saying they don't teach it at all. But that's a misconception that we have in our modern day. They've always taught that faith was necessary, grace was necessary, and Christ was necessary. But they did not teach that those things were sufficient. So it was faith, but not faith alone. Grace, but not grace alone. Christ, but not Christ alone. So there's the three things. Sorry, you may not be able to read my handwriting. Hope you can. Faith plus works. You've got grace. Grace plus merit. We talked before about the treasury of merit, which is essentially where the excess works of the past saints and Christ were stored up in this central treasury to be credited to the accounts of those who had insufficient merit, more or less. And then the next is Christ plus my handwriting is terrible. plus my own inherent righteousness. So you've got faith plus works, grace plus merit, Christ plus my own inherent righteousness. So all of these things were held to by the Roman Catholic Church, but the Reformers basically said no, no, and no. The only thing that is necessary for justification is faith. The only thing necessary for salvation is grace. And the content of our faith, the subject of our faith, is Christ and Christ alone. So they rejected the idea that it was anything that we contributed to salvation. That's what the Reformers were doing. So they came up with this idea of, well, they didn't come up with this specific terminology as far as like the five solas. That was coined after the fact, but it was as a summary of what the Reformers taught. So the Reformers rejected any addition that man has. It's only God's grace, and it's manifested through our faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is the vehicle, the vessel in which God chose to redeem His people. The instrumental cause of justification in the Roman Catholic view is baptism. And what I mean by instrumental cause, for example, you have a sculptor, you know, someone who's carving something out of stone. The instrumental cause of that is the instrument used, essentially, is the chisel. So you have the chisel that is the instrument by which the sculpture is being carved out. That's the same in the Roman Catholic Church as baptism. They essentially stated that baptism was the beginning of justification in the Roman Catholic Church. The person who is baptized essentially receives an inpouring or infusion of justifying grace. Okay? So if that person cooperates with that infused grace and assents to it, okay, so by assent, basically means they affirm it as a belief, okay? Like they are affirming Christ, and they're affirming what He did, but if that person cooperates with the infused grace and assents to it, then you remain in a state of justification, more or less. But if you step outside of that, justification actually can be lost. And this is actually, I'm sure you all have heard of the seven deadly sins. That's something that we're not talking about the specific sins, but what's called a mortal sin, and that's what they're talking about there. A mortal sin is basically one of the seven deadly sins, and I'm not going to go into what those are at all, but essentially it kills the grace that was poured into your soul at baptism. So all of that grace can be killed by a sin, and you're no longer in a state of justification. Therefore, you need to have that justification reinstated. There you've got the idea of, the sacrament of penance. So you go to a priest and you have a time of confession, and that's one of the sacraments of the Roman Catholic Church. And the idea of penance is actually, if you go to the root word, it's repentance, essentially. Which, to a degree, you know, we would, you know, it's like a distorted version of what the Bible teaches. It's accurate, but only to a degree. The Reformers' view is that faith is the instrumental cause of justification. So opposed to baptism as the instrumental cause, that which causes justification, the Reformers believed that faith and faith alone was the instrument in which justification was conducted, was made. So we are brought into a right relationship with God by the imputation of Christ's righteousness to our account. Imputation is essentially his righteousness is being accredited to us. We have his righteousness transferred to our account, and our sin was transferred to his. So Luther, as a result of this, this doctrine on faith alone, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, we're going to go to Scripture here shortly. And and we'll actually prove it in the text of Scripture. But Luther was charged with what's called antinomianism for the reason of his stance on faith and faith alone, faith apart from works. And antinomianism, it's a big word, but basically what it is, it's the idea and the teaching that Christians are released by grace from the obligation of observing the moral law. So essentially, the antinomians would say, I'm free to sin, I'm free to do whatever, I'm free to operate however I wish to operate. My faith alone, it's a distorted and a twisted version of faith alone that we do not ascribe to. We do not believe that by faith we're saved and then we're free to do whatever we please in the flesh. And that's just not, it's not a biblical argument, and you can't find that anywhere. That's basically the idea of what we see today, carnal Christians. Christians that have made a profession of faith, they have ascribed or assented to a specific set of beliefs, and now they live their life however they please, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh, which is obviously contrary to Scripture. So, it is faith alone, and that is why by with what we are justified, is our faith in Christ. Christ is the substance of our faith. We often distort faith, and it's misplaced. And that's really where you get a lot of this carnal Christianity. The misplaced faith is based on a feeling. We place our faith in a feeling that we had at one specific time. We place our faith in an emotion or in a card that we signed or in a prayer that we recited. There's several different things that we can place our faith in incorrectly, and we're really placing our faith in ourselves when we rely solely on a feeling that we had or solely on a decision that we made at one point in time and we thought we meant it enough. That is misplaced faith. That's faith in ourselves. That's not us resting in the work and atonement of Christ. When we say we have faith in Christ and Christ alone, we are saying that we place our faith in Christ, that He has paid our sin debt, that He has taken the punishment for our sins, and that His righteousness was credited to our account. We're not righteous without Him, and apart from Him, no flesh can be saved. We're saying that we are believing in God. We're believing in the Son of God for salvation, and our lives are changed as a result of that. Justification is by faith alone. And this is something that you all will want to remember. And this is a formula, essentially, that Luther coined. But it's saying justification is by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. And there we get the idea of the coherency of the five solas. And all of this works together. But justification is by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. So the faith doesn't stand by itself. And we're going to go to James in a few moments. We're also going to be in Romans. But we're going to see that saving faith, true faith, will inevitably and necessarily and immediately produce works. A person that has saving faith is a changed person. If they're not a changed person, the proof is positive that they don't have that genuine saving faith. Regeneration is necessary for a person to come to faith. So without the regeneration, we have no faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says that, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves," it says "that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Most people, interpret that only the grace is a gift from God, but it's not just the grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Grace and faith are both gifts from God. And that's something that we don't understand at a fundamental level. God gives us grace through faith. So it's through our faith that He manifests His righteousness, through His glory, and our salvation. That's the chisel that carves out our salvation, is our faith. That's our participation. Anything that we do good outside of that is not for salvation. It's not to acquire it. It's icing on the cake. It's essentially proof. You know, it's the proof. It's the fruit. Works, good works, are the fruit of our salvation. If we're a tree, then we're going to bear fruit. If any tree doesn't bear fruit, it's going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. That's what Jesus says. Regeneration is necessary for a person to come to faith, and it precedes faith. It's God working in the life of the unbeliever to bring them in to the fold, to draw him or her to Himself, to give them that newness of life. And in that process, immediately upon regeneration, the faith and everything necessary to fulfill the Christian life is given at that moment. And it's from that point on that we dig deeper into Scripture, and we seek and we long after God. We hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because of that inward change, we desire the things of God and no longer the things of the flesh. That doesn't mean that we're perfect. That doesn't mean that we're without sin. But that means that we have a new nature that's given. So we now have this desire for the things of God and a hatred for the things of the world. So now with that, we'll go to Scripture. We'll read there. Romans chapter 3 is where we'll start. There's a few different passages that I want to go to this morning. We'll start in verse 20 of Romans 3. If y'all want to turn with me there, I'll give y'all a second. All right. Go ahead and begin. We'll read from verse 20, probably to the end of the chapter. Definitely to the end of the chapter. It says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." I'm going to stop there just for a second before we finish out that passage. It says that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth. He justifies those who believe. Belief is faith. It's a faith. It's a changing faith, a saving faith. Verse 27 says, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and circumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, we establish the law. The law is established by faith. We have no boasting in anything, in any of our works, in any of the in keeping the law, because there's nothing, like, we're not justified by the law. We're not justified by keeping the law. It says, Christ says, you know, if your righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you know, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's not saying that it's actually possible. What it's saying is that the scribes and the Pharisees are the top of the top. They're the most religious. They're the most righteous in the earth. But even that is not sufficient to attain salvation. It's not through the deeds of the law. In verse 20 it says, the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The reason we have the law is so that we know that we need Christ, so that we know we need the grace and mercy of God, because we've seen through the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes that Damon's been taking us through, that even if you've hated, you've committed murder in your heart. Even if you've looked upon a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart. It's basically showing us who we are. It's showing us our wretchedness and our need for a Savior. And it's not there so that we might adhere to it to such a degree that we obtain salvation. And that's a lot of misunderstanding in the Old Testament. People think that in the Old Testament it was a different way of salvation under the previous covenant. But it says specifically in Scripture, several different places, you know, Abraham was justified by faith. It was by faith. He believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And there's several others as well that were saved by faith. And by believing God, that's where salvation has always came from. And we see that throughout the Old Testament. Even though it's not as clear of a picture that we see in the New Testament, it was always there. Any time someone was saved, it was always through faith. David himself, he believed God. He came to God with a broken and a contrite heart. Contrition, having a contrite heart and a posture, essentially, of repentance. Having a posture of repentance and having a contrite heart is assumed when we're talking about faith alone. When we're talking about faith by itself justifies, that is assuming that the person has a new nature, they've been regenerated through that faith, and by that they are going to continually repent from their sins and walk with God, walk away from the world continually. That's an assumption here. That's something that is inferred. And it's not that we can go on sinning just by our affirmation of a specific set of beliefs. Like, I affirm that Jesus Christ was who He says He was. You know, just because you might affirm something to be a fact doesn't mean that you have saving faith. Just because you believe there is a God doesn't mean you have saving faith. Just because you believe Jesus Christ paid for the sin debt of all those who would believe doesn't mean that you're saved. Even the devil believes. The devil knows all these things, and he openly rebels to it. And that's why you see in Scripture, you know, be not only a hearer of the word, but be also a doer of the word. See that in James. We are not only to hear the word, but we're also to do the word. Okay? It's our obedience to God. It says in John, you know, you love, well, I think it's John anyway, I can't remember exactly, but if you love me, you will keep my commands. You know, that is the key. If we have a new heart, if we have a relationship with Christ, if we have faith, and we've come to Christ in faith and repentance, we've repented of our sins, we believe in Him, and we've been given the new heart, then we're going to obey. We're going to keep His commands. Not perfectly. We're not perfect. That's not what we're claiming here. But what we are saying is the idea of keeping to something. It's referring to like that word was used in sailing. As the people would sail, they would say keep to like the keeping to something is keeping your eye on something. Keep your eye on the horizon. Keep to the horizon is keep watching. If you don't keep to something, then you're going to stray from it. Keep my commands. So we're to watch the commandments so that we follow them as closely as possible so that we end up at the place we're trying to go. We keep to the commandments of God by faith. We use them as a guide. They're our guide in this world. They're the light that we have. The Scriptures show us the direction, the trajectory that we are to go. They're not only that, but they're the Word of God, and they are sufficient to teach us all that we need to know about salvation. It is our faith, and our faith alone, apart from works, that saves us, that justifies us, rather. And you say, well, that's conflicting with James. So let's go to James. We'll go to chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 14. And we'll go through the end of the chapter as well. It says, what doth it profit, brethren, though a man say he has faith, and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she received the messenger, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. This is not a contradiction to Romans, to Paul, when he's talking about it's by faith and not the deeds of the law. This is really two men fighting back to back against opposing enemies. You've got faith, which is sufficient for justification, but it's not a faith that is dead. It's a living faith. That is the difference in what we're talking about. We have a living faith and a dead faith. A dead faith is what we talked about earlier. A dead faith is the antinomianism. Is it antinomianism or dead faith? Yeah, antinomianism. How is it? There's a couple different isms, and I was making sure I had the right one. Antinomianism says that you can do whatever you want. You don't have to abide by the law. You don't have to do that which is in Scripture. And that is the epitome of a dead faith. Not an active faith, not a living faith. That is what they're talking about in this passage. If we truly have faith, if we have a living faith, a faith that is born of God, a faith that has been brought about by the regeneration of the believer, then you have a faith that's going to be actively working to carry out the will of our Heavenly Father. A faith that does good works, but not for salvation, but because of salvation. An apple tree doesn't bear apples so that it will be an apple tree. An apple tree bears apples because it is an apple tree. It's not works that save us. We don't do good works so that we must be saved. We do works because of the salvation that we have received, the grace that we have received in Christ. And therefore, our lives are changed. So all things are new because of that. So we don't see, it says, you know, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. So it's by works that our faith is manifested, because if we have faith and we do nothing, that's essentially like saying it's not having faith at all. Faith, true living faith, is faith that's active. We take a step out and we expect God to be there. We step and God catches us. We walk and God walks with us. We don't stand still. We don't sit back and do what we want until the time comes when Jesus is going to, the angels blow the trumpet and Jesus comes in and carries us away and everybody else is left here to perish. You know, that's not biblical, and that's not what we're called to do as believers. Faith without works is dead. Faith alone, but it's not just any faith. It's not just ascribing to a set of teachings. It's not just believing Reformed theology. It's not just believing the Baptist faith and message. It's none of those things. It's believing Christ, placing our whole self into the person of Jesus Christ, depending on Him for salvation. And with that faith will come works. With that faith comes fruit. The last passage I want to read, it's just one verse. It's Romans 5, chapter 1. Or Romans chapter 5, verse 1, rather. You don't have to turn there. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through faith that we have peace and justification with God. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, He has brought us into a right relationship with Him, a just perspective. That means that we are held without blame. We are righteous and pure in His sight through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that was imputed to us, the righteousness was transferred to our account when the sin was transferred to His. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through our faith in Him. That is the only way we have peace. And with that, in closing of this lesson, I want to ask you all, do you all have peace? Like, is there that peace that reigns within you? That peace that you are right with God, you are just before a holy God, not because of your works, but because of the works of Christ. Faith plus works, grace plus merit, Christ plus my inherent righteousness equals nothing. You wash all the others out. It's faith plus nothing. Grace plus nothing. Christ plus nothing. Those things are sufficient for our salvation. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ. And it's the reason that Christ saves us, the reason that we've been saved in the first place, is not for ourselves. It's not because we were so good or we were irresistible. It's because God was so good. God was so gracious and merciful. And He chose some to save. He chose to save a people for Himself so that He might be glorified, so that we might know His character more fully. God is not unjust in saving some people. The act of justification is only possible because of the sacrifice, the atonement of Jesus Christ, because Christ satisfied the judgment of God for those who that would believe in Him. He took that upon Himself. Someone else received the punishment that we deserved. There cannot be, it's not just to make two people pay the same price for one person's sin. Christ took on the sins of all those who would believe. And if we do not believe, if we have not come to genuine faith and repentance in Him, then we stand condemned. So, I know, most of you all, it seems to me that you all have experienced faith and repentance. You all are here, and that's an encouragement. But if we don't have peace, I encourage and challenge you to examine yourselves. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Because that's what it's all about. It's all about our faith in Christ, in God, in the work that He did on the cross, in the person of Jesus Christ. And with that, we'll close in prayer. And we'll have a few minutes before the next, the morning service begins. So, dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, thank You for this day. Thank You for all that You've done and all You continue to do. Pray that You would just use this message to speak to each and every one of our hearts, and especially my own, God. Pray that You would just help us to live our lives with a faith that is living and active, God, because You are living and active. Pray that You would just help us to be faithful to You. Help us to keep to Your commandments, to be obedient to Your word, Father. Help us to be hearers of the word and doers of the word, and not hearers only. Pray that You would just renew our hearts, create cleaner hearts in us, Father. Pray that You would just help the message that Damon brings forth today just to penetrate our hearts and just convict us in any area that we may fall short. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.